Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Brent, a question on everybody's mind right now, maybe even yours. Do you have a quarterback for today?
Yeah, we got a couple different quarterbacks. Emmitt Edenwright will get his first career start. And then we'll see from there. We have a plethora of guys that are going to be working some different sets and some different things that we'll unleash over the next 7 weeks. But, yeah, had some bad luck at the quarterback position so far. And so hopefully Emma can take the turn at the helm and point us in the right direction.
Jared Henning and Emmitt Edenwright both do vastly different things on the field. Do you have a section of the playbook for each of them, or does Emmitt have to do some stuff that's meant for Jared?
No, I think we just have to go back and use Emmett's strengths. And here's the difference between Emmitt and Jared and even Alt. Obviously, the experience factor, he doesn't have any. But at least he's been in now for two, or he's got actually three games where he's been out there. But Emmitt's got a really strong arm. The game's got to slow down for him, just like any new quarterback. So it's almost, when you talk about playbooks, we have like nine different ones right now, it seems like. We have our Wildcat. We have the Jared package. We have stuff for everybody. So we're going to have to be creative and do a lot of different things, and it's going to be hard on the defenses. We'll still make them adjust, use tempo, and we're just going to have to do things in different ways. So I think we still have a pretty good identity of what we need to do and the idea of what we need to do. So we're gonna throw a bunch of stuff out the wall and see what sticks, buddy.
Without giving away all your secrets, you have run Wildcat on occasion. Do you have some wrinkles there with Jalen?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have wrinkles with everybody. I mean, I'm not joking. We'll have, you name it, we're probably going to do it over the next 7 weeks. So if you want to go back to like a wing tee, spinner back type of deal, we'll probably be doing that too. So we'll figure things out as we go. We certainly can't overload the kids. We still have a good O-line. We still have a good running game. We still have good receivers. We got to get those guys involved, which we weren't able to do last week. And I think that was really a deciding factor of why we weren't up more at half. Or be able to have a lead even in the third quarter. So we're going to have to figure that out on our side, or on the offensive side. But, yeah, we just might have to win a little bit differently if we're going to have to suck the air out of the ball a little bit and go back to play some Celtic basketball back in when Red was there. And we just got to find a way to do it.
Earlier this week, I had a chance to visit with Joe Woods, talked a little bit about Duluth's big plays, and he says, man, on all of them there was a breakdown. Were any of those looks unscouted looks from Duluth, or did you just have breakdowns?
Yeah, I think you go back to the game. If you looked at like just our defense, the first drive, you know, the game, we're up 7-0 going in to go up two scores. Jalen had a nice run. Kid from Duluth made a really nice play, popped the ball out. They recovered it. But we had three busts on that, on base things on defense where they got their first score. Third down, we took a timeout. We had our pressure that we wanted, which would have came scot-free. Wrong guy went, and hence why there was nobody within 30 yards of the receiver. So they got that one. The breakdown on the punt. Never in my life would we have one. We had two guys out that were banged up. So some new guys out there, we cut a guy free, they block a punt. And so, you know, they took advantage of those opportunities and made plays, but the flea flicker was kind of a new wrinkle. They caught us with our pants down and hit the big one there. But then a pick six, it was, you know, a lot of self-inflicted agony. And then, you know, a fourth down play where we had the kid stacked up in the backfield. One of our own players hit our own guy off and he spins out and scores. And then, you know, the backups gave up that 80 yard where we just didn't make a play, but we actually busted on that too. So we looked at it, five plays, they got 220 yards. The other, you know, 60 plays, we hold them about 140. We physically took it to the Bulldogs, and I'm not, they're still a great team, but I feel like if we could have just done a few things a little bit better, that outcome would have been drastically different.
Speaking of unscouted looks, at this point in the year, one, are there? And second, how closely do you pay attention to tendencies? For instance, third and four, this formation, they're going to run this.
Yeah. You know, certain coordinators obviously go back and self-scout on both sides of the ball. I think some coordinators just say, hey, this is what we do, and we're going to out-execute you in doing it. But there's certainly tells, and there's certainly formational tendencies, and we – as a staff on both sides, you know, speaking like our offense, they're going to be looking at what are they going to pressure and figure out what the tells are within those formations where you can see the tilt of the safeties or where the backers line up, for example. Those are our things that we're looking at. And then I think we can get more on defense as you go through. We had a pretty good idea where and when Duluth was running the ball and passing the ball off, a few things that we picked up off of the tendencies within games that we've broken down. But if there's tendencies to be had, you know, with huddle and how you can break down film, they're going to be there. So we break down every formation in the backfield set. It's almost a little overkill at times. It's crazy how much time we put into it, but anything to give your kids a little bit added advantage certainly can help.
How did you do that kind of stuff 15, 20 years ago?
It's called a paper and pen. We spent a lot more time. I giggled about it. Marty Costello was back a couple weekends ago coming down from Winnipeg. He's up there with the Blue Bombers, and me and Marty spent a lot of time. Aaron Vlecko was the offensive coordinator and probably about the most anal retentive person as a coach as it came. And if there was one thing out of order, we were missing it. But we had to input it by hand into a program, and then it would spit out about 200 pieces of paper. And you go back and rechart it, and you had to re-verify it on film, you know, watching VHS back then. And, oh, we thought we were big time when we got DVDs, and we thought we were the cat's meow. But it certainly changed. Now we're done. Like, for the next week's opponent, we already have all that broken down. We'll start quasi looking at that at the end of the week for whoever we play next. I guess at Southwest, I guess. But it gives you an advantage. So on Sunday nights, we can really get into game planning. Then on Mondays, we finish it up and have a pretty good idea what we're doing for the work week.
More with Coach Bolte when we return. Pregame show continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. On to Augie. Their quarterback got benched last Thursday against Sioux Falls. You now know firsthand what they're thinking of who the heck is going to be lining up against us at quarterback. At this point of the year, does it matter who they line up at quarterback?
I don't think so. I mean, each of their quarterbacks bring a little bit different strengths. The starter can whip it around. He likes to be in the pocket. He likes throwing the ball. Augie, in general, relies on their pass game a lot. They got a lot of big, tall receivers. They do a good job recruiting skill kids. I love their running back. I think he's a really good player, too. So, skill-wise, they got a ton over there. They haven't probably played as well as they thought they were against Upper Iowa. They just looked unbelievable the first game. And then you go back, you know, they're 3-1 right now, but Wayne was up 13-3 at half. Their Mankato game was close. They were in that game and played well. Got away a little bit at the end. And then, to be honest with you, Sioux Falls dominated that game outside of penalties and turnovers. And Augie found a way to win, which good for OJ. I mean, that's a big win for him and the program down there. And I certainly enjoy him. He's a great human. But that's, leading back to the quarterback question, I think they're going to be a little bit different. The backup's a little bit more of a runner, more like a Jared type, I guess. He can throw it certainly pretty well, too. So it'll be interesting who they have out there, to be honest with you.
Their leading tailback also didn't play against Sioux Falls. Overall, how is their run game?
They struggle a little bit there, and I don't know if it's an issue with just some injuries on the O-line or if it's just not having him out there. He's a big, strong, physical runner. They have a huge offensive line. They got good tight end fullback. So I think they've just, number one, played some pretty good defenses. You know, Upper Iowa was probably down a little bit, and they could have done anything they wanted. I thought Wayne State had a really interesting game plan. Mankato is one of the best defenses usually in the country. So, and Sioux Falls is really good on defense too. So they face some really good defenses, but I'm sure they're searching for a little bit of an identity. I don't think they want to sit back and throw it 50 times either. So I think both offenses, I would say, are searching for their identities on both sides, you know, BSU and Froggy right now.
They also run a 4-3, as does Crookston. How is theirs a little different than what Crookston did?
Personnel, they're just dang good. I think it's one of the best defenses that I've watched personally, where they have real big physical D-line. It's probably their strength. And they're just good across the board. I like their backers. They fit extremely well. They don't do a ton. They're going to sit back and play coverage more and just bring their down four, and they just wreaked havoc against USF. I think they had 8 sacks or 7 sacks against USF. So they just get it done in a different way. They don't feel like they need to bring pressure, which how awesome is that? Just like the Bears last night or yesterday against the Vikings, they just teed off with their down four and were able to play coverage. So that's their, in my opinion, I think that's the strength of their team is their defense, and probably all across the board, they're just a good defensive unit.
You've won 9 straight homecoming games. That is a big number. What impresses you the most about 9 straight?
Well, I think probably what's great about winning your homecoming games just in general is happy alums and everything else. But we do play well. We play well, usually well at home. And even going back to Luth, we played really well for about 52 minutes of that game. However, in that other 8-minute span, it was a gong show. So we got to be able to play a complete game in all 3 phases. We have miscues on all of them, to be honest with you. So, and they were so glaring last week, they ended up just being big plays. So limit the damage when something goes sideways. That's done. You know, you grade out the offense defense reflecting back last week. We probably played one of our better games, which is crazy to say. It's just the mistakes were just so magnified. So we need to go out there and play smart football. We need to go back to not turning the ball over. We got to be solid in special teams, and that's the way you do it. And going back to the homecoming wins in years past, you know, we just found a way to win in fourth quarters in some of those games. Last year, in particular against Sioux Falls, we just kind of hung around, and lo and behold, we were there, and then we just took control of the game, and that was really the third and fourth quarter. Otherwise, I thought they outplayed us, unfortunately, for the other 3. So, but that's kind of been our story with the homecoming.
When you recruit a player, how long before this tradition gets brought up?
It's usually one of the first things, because when we do our intros, we usually, Colin Boyles is just phenomenal at our SID, or assistant SID. So he has videos and promotional videos, and it always has us in the lake. So we actually have one that kind of gives a little bit of history. It's not just last year. It has a few of the different wins over the years and people rushing the lake. So it's one of the funner traditions in college football, to be honest with you, when you can go down there and jump in the water and act like a kid for 5-10 minutes. I usually take some body blows and kids are throwing me around, but it's well worth the bruising on my end when you can get in the lake. So hopefully we can find a way, and we stress that to our guys. I don't care who's healthy or who's playing. The expectation's still the same. We got to go out and do our job and find a way to win the game.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers, starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.